Yes, we're getting into the autumn. There is exciting things around the corner for our church, and especially we're just reaching out, and there are people who are really broken after all the things that they've been through in these last 3 years. Let's keep our eyes open for them. But this morning, we're going to remind ourselves some of the basics of what we believe in the life of Abraham. So let's bow our heads. We're going to pray one more time, and then we're going to ask the Lord to open up these passages to us. So God, we need you. We come to you willing to listen. We come to you willing to hear what your words are and to think deeply about them. But especially to realize our need and to realize that you love us and want to fill that need. Be with us now. Help me to get out of the way of what you want to do here and to allow your words to do what they always do, which is change lives when we're ready and willing to hear it. We pray these things in your name. As I'm sure you all know, I was a youth pastor for a while, a crime area, L.A. It's a gang started in the USA about a where I was a youth pastor. And so the joke that we had, because our youth group was entirely made up of people who did not grow up in church. There was two kids that were coming to the group before when the youth group started, and by the end it was all people from outside of the church who ended up coming to my youth group. And the joke was that we would make is that the children were rebelling against their families by attending church. The parents would go, "Where do you guys go on Wednesdays and Saturdays? I mean, I know you're up to no good, but kind of no good." They'd be like, "Oh, I'm going to church." And they'd be like, "What? How could you go to church? This is awful. We want you to pursue all sorts of things that would destroy you," right? They're going to church, and there would be a guest that their kid would be thinking about God. Now, during this time, there was actually a lot of people who committed to follow Jesus. And that's great. But it's not the end of the story. Because the question was, for this person who had this broken life and this broken background, is following in him or in things they're all around you. Are you going to keep growing faith, or is this it? Is just a kind of a flash in the pan? And I remember there were many sincere, to my mind, Christians. They were making professions of faith, and it lasted for a season, but eventually they kind of went back to whatever the family sin was. They kind of went back to whatever the culture was telling them. Oh, just go ahead and do that. And they forgot about God. And there's a small handful that have grown and grown and grown year after year after year. And that's wonderful. This does have to do with Genesis. We're returning to Genesis. This is a summary day. It's chapters 12 through 21 is what we're handling today. But you might notice we didn't do 1 through 11. I did 1 through 11 in the summary day last year. And I've already sent that along to your WhatsApp if you are attached with the church WhatsApp. You'll receive that, and if you'd like to receive that, just let me know, and I'll throw you into the church WhatsApp, and also just send that link to you. So today we're doing 12 through 21. We're not handling the earlier stuff, but one person really this morning, and his name is Abraham. And guess what? Abraham, at this point in his life, nearly everyone on the entire planet is kind of just, well, in rebellion against God. They're not believing in the one true God who made heaven and earth. And deities, they kind of believe themselves to be deity. If you guys have ever heard called divine, well, they were first, okay? Everybody was saying that sort of thing. They were worshiping themselves in this pagan culture in the past. And Abraham is called by God, and Abraham responds, and he rebels against his family. And he rebels against society, and he leaves it all behind, okay? Just like my students. But also, that's not the end of the story. Actually, there's 15 or so chapters about Abraham's growth after he makes the decision to follow Jesus. After he made the decision to follow the Lord, that is, okay? Because Jesus isn't quite born. And so this is our big idea this morning I want you guys to think about. We are each individually called to trust in the Lord. I hope you've done that. We're each individually called to trust in the Lord, but then also to grow in faith, finish out our life, okay? This is meant to be a lifelong process. Put it in a command. Put your trust in God, and then continue to grow and grow and grow in faith. Grow in faith. So shall we start by considering how Abraham, like all followers, is called by God. He responds in faith, and then God says, when he sees that response of faith, God says, I accept. And this is what Christians are. As Genesis chapter 12, in, and this is what it says, 12 verses 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham's call, this is at this point, Abraham may have never known anything at all about the Lord. In fact, there's a really good chance he knows nothing about who the Lord is. The very most we might say is that he is one of many deities that his whole family worships. Now, Abraham lives 2,000 years before Christ, almost exactly 2,000 years before Jesus, actually, which is very interesting in and of itself. And here it says he's going to bless the whole world through Abraham's offspring, and that offspring is actually Jesus. It's actually speaking about Jesus. So, but what's interesting here is that Abraham does essentially what every Christian does if they are Christians. How do you become a Christian? You repent of your sin. You surrender to Jesus, and then you trust that Jesus has died for your sins. You trust God for your salvation. And that happens with Abraham here. He has the same elements. The first thing God says is, leave your family. Well, why? Because your family is full of idols and going the wrong direction. So that's what he's saying. Repent of all this pagan stuff, and we're going to do something different. And the next thing God says is, go. And that is, he's saying, I'm in charge of you now. You go where I tell you to. I'm asking you to surrender, okay? So we've got thing, I will do the blessing to your life, Abraham. Meaning, I'm going to save you. You're not going to save yourself, Abraham. Well, we're going to find out who he's saving from in a moment. But here we have all the pieces of what we believe today brings someone to faith. They repent, they believe, they surrender. Sometimes people ask, how did the Old Testament people, how did they get saved in the past since Jesus wasn't there? The answer is actually kind of in the exact same way as in the New Testament, right? They repent, they believe, they surrender. They surrender. So, look, Abraham gets up and he leaves, albeit quite slowly. He ends up spending like a long time in Haran, which is like close to Israel, but not quite there, with his father, who loves worshiping the moon goddess, and there they wait until he dies. And then after he dies, God says, now go by yourself, Abraham, to the country. I'm still interested in you going to the country. I will show you. And he goes at that point, and he enters Israel. Now, in Genesis, God is going to explain out what salvation looks like. Abraham lays the grave, he lays the all of the ideas that we find in full bloom in the New Testament, it's all laid out. And so 15 verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abraham, I'm your servant, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the Lord came to him and said, the word of the Lord, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so your shall be your offspring. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So we learn that Abraham has a big problem. His wife is infertile. They can't have kids. They never have had any children. And she is too old to have any children. And what this means is that he has no future. Okay, because the way you have future in this society is you have a child who carries on your name. No future for Abraham. And so God appears to him and he says, "You're not doing me any favors. I came and I did all you asked me to do and nothing, right? I have no child." And over here in Abraham, or he's just going to inherit everything. And I don't really, you know, this is a terrible story we got. And God says, "Wait, I will save you. The story is not over. I will save you." And Christianity is about God saving us, not us saving ourselves, not us being better than, you know, the other 50% of society and past curve, God's curve, not doing more good than bad during our life, not trying to make up for the bad we do. God whole and completely saves us. Our son Abraham had no options left. He can't save himself either. If you think about it, let's imagine that you're in a tidal wave and you're slowly making your way down the drain, as it were. There's a thing in the middle. You're gone if you get there. And God lowers the rope to you and he says, "Now you just climb yourself out," right? No. God says, "Grab this and I'm going to pull you right out by my strength." God insists on saving us. He insists that he is the Savior. And so to give an example of what God can do, God gives the example. He says, "Let's go outside and take a look at the stars." And he's like, "Wow, these are pretty amazing, aren't they? Have you counted these lately? Why don't you take a few moments to do that? Can you not count them? I made these. I made you. Do you think I can do what I say I can do? Do you think I can God can do in you what you cannot do? He's made the stars, and now he wants to make you. He wants to change you. Is he able to do it? Yes, he is. So he says, "Trust me, I will give you offspring just the way I made these stars. I'll make your children." And it says, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Most important verse in the Old Testament, for sure. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, what does that mean? Let's just translate. God accepts Abraham. That's what it says. Abraham believed, and because Abraham believes, God says, "I accept you. You are my friend." Okay? You can stay with me forever. That is what has happened. How did it happen? Well, it just happened by Abraham trusting. It wasn't about anything Abraham did to earn God's favor. It was just, "I believe you. I believe that you're going to save me." So this is how you become a believer. Abraham is the example, and he is called, he responds, he repents, he obeys, and he trusts in God for salvation. Have you responded to God's call? Have you responded to the God's call? Have you repented and surrendered? If you have not, you are not yet God's friend. And you'll want to take care of that straight away. So come and talk to me if that's the case, yeah? Put your trust in God and continue to grow in faith. But that's not the end of the story, right, is it? From chapter 12 clear to chapter 22, God builds Abraham's faith up. God is building Abraham's faith up. God has something for Abraham after he gets saved. This is the problem. We don't realize God intends to save us and then there's this word that is used in the New Testament, and it's just very Christian-y, sanctify us. He intends to grow our faith. He's not, like, content just to have purchased us. Now he wants to grow us. Well, how is he going to grow Abraham's faith? First, by making Abraham wait to get his promise. By making Abraham wait to get his promise. Not fulfilling his promise immediately. So what do I mean by that? So, number one, God promised Abraham, "I'm going to give you the land of the land of Israel, my son. I'm going to give you the land of Genesis 12, verse 7. To your offspring, I will give this land." That's in the future tense. Now, wait a minute. Abraham's like, "I'm here now. Why can't I just, you know, have the land now? I'm here." And he's like, "No. Your children will inherit this. What? Wait, what do you mean? I came all this way and you're not me right now? In fact, Abraham is going to dwell in tents everywhere on this land that belongs to him. Can you imagine how hard that is, moving all the time? I mean, we have a problem going like 4 miles and we call removal to do work, right? Imagine if you visited a person who had just been given a mansion, a fancy knock on the door and the servant. Well, where's my friend who's just got this place? It's like, oh, he's out back. And so you go out to the garden and they've set up a couple lawn chairs and they're sleeping on the lawn, like some stuff to cover their head when it rains. And you go, what's this about? He's like, well, it's not mine yet, actually. But it is promised and I have to wait on it. Now, what do something like that? Well, imagine, if you will, that you prayed to God, right? This is before you get married and whatever. You say, God, I want a family and I want prestige and I want you know, a beautiful spouse and I want money. And as you pray this, you hear, sure, just a moment, right? And you look up and see the Tesla coming out. And in the Tesla, there's a passenger seat, because obviously you're the driver. There's your spouse. And in the back seat, you see there's a bunch of lifetime achievement awards. When you ever just prayed for, thank you, what's next? You probably never pray to him again because you got everything you wanted. You got the promise. What more do you and I have to do with each other, God? We this is a done deal. Exactly why God does not give Abraham all of the things that he promised, because he wants a relationship. He wants a relationship. You know, this morning, God wants a relationship with you. Are you close to that? Are you like, well, we have a contractual agreement, God. I come on Sunday and you save me at the end. And I don't really want to talk to you or know you or anything. Christians, remember that we are not home yet. We are not home yet. I would not presume on heaven if I were you. Why? Paul doesn't presume. Philippians 3:12-13, let me just read it to you. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, hold of me. Sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. So if Paul, certainly of anybody going to heaven, says, I haven't yet taken hold of it, we ought to live our lives the same way. Continue waiting on the promise, getting full and growing in grace as we go. So there's a second situation, and we've already talked about this a little bit. It's that Abraham's wife, Sarai, is barren. And so their biggest need is that they cannot have kids. They cannot have kids and they have no future. And so God says, leave. And it sounds like he's saying, leave and I'll let you have a child, right? And so they leave. No child then. It's far past the time that people normally have children. What's going to happen? God, he keeps reminding them that he's going to keep this promise, you know? He keeps extending that. No, I know you're worried, but I'm gonna keep my promise. Actually, Abraham, we got to change your name. Well, it was Abram. So we're going to change your name from Abram, which means a father of a multitude. How embarrassing is that? What's your name, Abram? What does that mean? Oh, father of a multitude. How many children do you have? None. Oh, okay. What? Who named you that? What a mess. He goes, before there's any children, he says, now change your name from father of, you know, exalted father. Father of many nations now. That's your new name. And Abraham's like, no kids. No kids. And God's like, I know. And Sarah, by the way, you know, Princess Sarai, you change it to queen. She's going to be a queen. Yeah. What is he doing? He's saying, you have to wait on the promise. I can do it. I can do it. By the way, Abraham, he falls down and he laughs. It's not a great thing to laugh at God. But anyway, it's funny because God does do it, right? He does come through and they have a child in like, she's nearly 100 years old. And God tells us we are waiting on the promise. We have a promised land. We have a joy We're not there yet. We need to, what? Let the promise of God swallow up our whole life. I want you to hear that. God made Abraham, he made Abraham trust in the promise until it had swallowed up his whole life. And that's exactly the way that you and I should live. The promise of heaven is worthy of taking everything in our life, taking every day that we meander about this little earth until we come before the throne. Until we come. Now, I want you to know, and I actually have a little, this, who made this graph? This is terrible looking. I did. Anyway, so not a great graph, but I'm going to show you that Abraham, we'll talk about all the failures in a second, but he just keeps going in faith. He just builds altars to the living God. He gives the best land to Lot, even though Lot doesn't deserve it, and he's going to be his anyway. It's all in faith that he's doing these. He attacks armies because he deduces that he can't die because God is going to keep his promise. He circumcises his son. Says to do so. He, when Isaac is born and there's great danger between the older son now and Isaac, sends his son away in faith. God will take care of my son. I can trust him. Okay, that is a very hard thing. He keeps acting in faith, and guess what? It's all building to a pinnacle, and the pinnacle is next week. The very top of Abraham's faith, it just keeps up and up and up, and God is actually preparing you right now for what he wants to do with you later. It is not the story over. Now that you've met him, it's just boring. What do we do until God comes back? Oh, no, no. God is building your faith until he builds it, and he builds it, and he builds it, and he takes it to the most difficult place, and you overcome, and it lasts forever. It lasts forever. Punchline, it's an upward journey of faith that we're all on. It's an upward journey of faith. Going up. Are you going up in your faith? Are you continuing in it, or have you gotten sidetracked somewhere? Maybe it's God, but like my stuff. God, my stuff. And that's just been miserable for you. Well, I have a way forward for you. Put trust in God and continue to grow in faith. God also grows Abraham's faith as he encourages grace. Okay, God's grace is what saves Abraham and enables him to continue with him. Okay. The same diagram, actually. Now we can look at all the valleys here. So here's, these valleys are all the things that Abraham does wrong. Okay, so Abraham is supposed to go to the promised land, but he stops short, and he stops in Haran, and he waits for his dad to die, and he says, actually, I kind of want to stay here, and God has to say, actually, I really do want you to go to Canaan. You can do it still. My promise is there. And then when he gets into the land, he ends up going down to Egypt, and there he lies about his wife. He says, this is not my wife, this is my sister, which is like the least romantic thing I can imagine. Can you imagine if you were... if your spouse did that to you, good night. You would be in such deep trouble. And for certain, that don't do that. Anyway, this is what happens, and she puts up with it, number one. But number two, it could be catastrophic. Because this is the woman that God says, I'm going to give this child through. But if you break that marriage up, well, now it's all out of your hands. Abraham is throwing away the covenant there. He does that twice, by the way. But then the very worst thing he does is that they're sitting around and Sarai says, you know, there's no chance I'm going to have a kid. So, and it's God's fault. So, you know, I have a servant. Go to my servant Hagar. And Abraham says, sure, that's a great idea. Okay. And there's a child that is born named Ishmael. And Ishmael has fought ever since with Isaac, yeah? And lots of people have died because of the fighting between Ishmael and Isaac. And right now, there's fighting going on between Ishmael and Isaac. It keeps going, and it's Abraham's fault, okay? Abraham made a mistake that's costing lots of people lives. Well, he also has brought a lot of people to faith. But guess what God does whenever Abraham fails? He forgives him. He forgives him. That's amazing. The stuff that Abraham did was really dumb, and God is really, really gracious, and God wants to forgive you if you've really messed up. God can forgive you. And God wants to forgive you. And he's willing. Now, look, Abraham does do something each time he sins. Does anybody know what it is? He builds an altar. Every time he sins, he builds an altar and kind of makes some statements to God. And actually, he probably has a sacrifice where something dies for his sin. And we too have a sacrifice, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice that this is pointing to. Because of what Christ has done for you, you have hope in a future. And when you mess up, that's because the reason that God is going to be okay with you is because Jesus died for you eventually, okay? Well, that's our message. Put your trust in God. Continue to grow in faith. So in concluding, I want you to think about your life of faith so far. Have you had a moment of faith? Or would you say your life is a progression of faith? Have you had a moment of faith? Or are you saying, my life is actually progressing in faith? I am growing in faith. Now, I've kept off talking about Lot until just now. So we'll speak about Lot. Lot in the story is Abraham's kind of his doppelganger in a sense. Okay, he's like a foil for Abraham. Abraham does good. Lot, not so much. And so Lot actually believes in the living God, just like Abraham. Follows the living God, and he's gone down with Abraham into the promised land. But there, he says, this is uncomfortable. Dwelling in tents is really uncomfortable. I think I'm going to become a citizen, I would like to be in a nice, lush place, and I would like to have a nice, big house, and I would like... And so they part ways. And Lot quickly falls in love with the world, and he finds himself a citizen of Sodom, and then terrible things go when God shows up and says, I don't like this place at all, okay? And Abraham has to rescue Lot, but then they go back to Sodom, and then, eventually, God decides to destroy Sodom with fire, okay? Lot escapes, again, because God is merciful to Lot, but he lives in a cave with his children at the end of the story, and it's very sad. And Lot is the picture of the Christian who says, I commit to the Lord, but hey, I kind of like the world too. I kind of got to live for that more than for God. And then off they go into the world, and the world smashes them and wrecks what is a beautiful story. Now, guess what? Lot is in heaven. Isn't that great? How do I know that? Because he's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. He's actually one of the faithful in the book, okay? So he's in heaven. But he missed out on all that God wanted for him. Why? Because he was busy chasing the world and not growing towards the promise. I want better things for you than that. Do you want better things than that? The way forward is to say, God, I want to continue in my faith. If we look at Abraham's life, we're not going to go back and look at the slide, but all those low points, that could have been it for Abraham if he didn't turn back to God. And so if you find yourself in that low point, now is a great time to say, I will continue with you, God. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to rest on the promise until I'm set free on the other side of heaven. Let's bow our heads and let's have a moment. We're going to have a moment of reflection for you to say whatever it is you want to say to God. But I think it should probably be related to what we've just read. Let's bow our heads and I'll give that moment a second. Lord, it is my cry that each of us would live Abraham's life. A life that says, I will trust in the promise of the Lord completely, a life that rests on the cross of Christ, and that says, I'm going to live the rest of my life for Jesus, and I'm going to keep growing in faith. And so now in the quietness of your heart, I can urge you to speak with God about what we've been listening to and to possibly even make a commitment to him about the next steps and the next days of your life. There is no one good enough, Lord, and yet you have made your salvation to us through Jesus, and we can trust you. And I pray that each one of us would trust you every day of our lives. I pray that we would rest every day on the promise. I pray for incredible stories here, Lord. Stories of courage and faith. Abrahamic stories. And I pray it would be all for your glory. In your name, amen.